Thank you for joining me this week. On April the 18th, Thursday night, Iran was hit with missiles and drones. Notice that it wasn't an aircraft involved in the retaliation. And most of us, including myself, think that it might have been Israel who was involved in this. Isn't it unique that Israel doesn't claim or brag about it? But Iran talks about their great victory. Well, I'll tell you what it showed. It showed that really Israel could take any hit that Iran delivered, and Israel was capable of attacking them back, retaliating back at any place within their country. What a powerful message. But there's so many details that are not revealed just yet, so I know many of you are expecting us to talk about that today. I'm going to put it off. Let's wait for additional details. But I do want to continue our series with Jim Barfield, the search for the treasures, perhaps Solomon's treasures, the project of the Copper Scrolls in Qumran. It's one of the most exciting and popular series that we've aired in a long time. If you haven't seen the first two parts, well, you can pick those up online. But we want to do part three today. You know what it shows? It shows that so much of the plan of God is coming true in our lifetime. We're watching a great situation where all the nations that are mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39 are right in the Middle East. We're looking at a situation where there might be a great treasure and a spoil. We're looking at silver and gold. All these are indicators that situations in the Middle East continue to evolve in such a way that they're going to fulfill exactly the plan of God. So join me now for part three of the Copper Scroll Project with Jim Barfield.
So how much longer is it going to take before you guys start digging?
He's in charge.
Wow. Okay. So what
God is in charge of that?
I'm
going to tell you, I don't believe it's going to be very long at all.
So what would it mean if you guys bring up the tabernacle that was moved around by the children of Israel out in the wilderness? You bring up different things that we've talked about, including, let's just go out on a limb. Say you bring up the Ark of the Covenant. If Hamas is losing it over five red heifers, they are going to chop their own heads off when you find the Ark of the Covenant, which proves this is obviously the land of the Israelites with their Ark of the Covenant. They're going to absolutely go nuts.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. This area is a sensitive area, and one of the first slides we looked at was the Valley of Achor, and in that valley, it's kind of a crossing point. There's so many people that would claim this, and so that's why timing is important. That's why there's a political framework, there's a military framework, and right now, there's such a mess going on in Israel. And part of the problem is our current administration. Our administration right now, they won't even concede that Israel has a right to defend themselves. They continue to put up a two-state solution. Wow, I mean, this is the craziest thing in the world. Actually, neither side wants a two-state solution. Palestinians say we want it all, and Israel has been given it all by God. And so right now, if let's say it was found tomorrow with the current administration, I can see them stripping away the treasure and giving it away. And so the timing is important.
They turned around and gave custody of the Temple Mount to Jordan, did they not? That was a dumb move.
Yeah, unbelievable. You know, one of the things, going back to the picture where we looked at the sinkhole, and it talks about the edge, and there's another picture after that I think is really neat, because in the actual writing of the scroll, of the copper scroll, it talks about the edge. I mean, it's a word that's right there, the edge. And then you can see that he's standing right on the edge. How high was that cliff that's there?
About 7,500 feet high.
Yeah.
So you're saying that right there is the hole, but you're saying right there where that arrow's pointing was this drop.
No, that actually where that arrow is pointing is where that cave is that you saw on the first slide.
Okay.
That you understand the cave was buried.
Okay.
And they took, what they did is they took mortar and stones and they blocked it up. There's three documents that talk about this. They block it up and they sealed it with a mortar. Now, here's the interesting thing. I've got some other pictures where it shows me sitting with Yuval Peleg, the archaeologist, and behind us is about two shelves made out of some kind of mortar. Well, I took that mortar, sent it off to Skokie, Illinois, had it tested, and I had one of the men that works at Masada, the guy that mixes a mortar, and he does it the ancient way. Both of those people said, one of them said is definitely man-made material. The Skokie, Illinois said it's most likely man-made material. Now, why would there be man-made material in a place where I think is the cave? If they plastered it shut, there was leftover mortar there. So is it that the right place? I absolutely believe it is because all the details, all the instructions match that
and
location.
What makes you think this, what made this sinkhole open up? Just...
Well, the only way sinkholes open up is if there's a void beneath it and there's rain. Qumran does not get a lot of rain. They get about a half inch per year. But they had a lot of rain, literally more than normal at Qumran. And when I went back, that sinkhole was there.
Mm. Now, don't show my screen because I want to give people's private info away. But Cindy wants to know, she said, and you guys can email in your questions. I was in Israel in 2020. One day I was in Qumran. Could I have been standing over one of the caves full of treasures and not even known it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because it's not a very big place. And I'm telling you, it's just when they dug these things out, of course, they had five different teams. But they buried them all over the place at Qumran. And I'm not going to show you the big map with all the locations on it. But they did. They're all over the place. Matter of fact, as soon as you walk in, and you go into past that big building on the left, that ancient building, you're walking right over gems, silver, all kinds of stuff.
Rick,
tell her not to feel bad. I walked over it 70 times.
70 times. Wow. Rick wants to know if you, Jim, had figured this out in 2009, why is it front and center today? Why not front and center earlier than today?
And this is a overly simplified, but God has got a plan. And I am is the spokesman and the guy that located these things. This is going to be up to God, and it has to be in the exact right moment. Because everything, look at all of this is coming together now. The heifers, the collapse, you name it. There's just all kinds of different things happening now. It's got to be at the exact right moment
but,
for God to reveal.
So are you telling me that providentially, God has stopped you, didn't give you the motivation to visit with people like Rob Lindstedt and talk about this, who then called me and came on my show. And then I said, well, let's get him on with you. I mean, are you saying that since 2009, God has somehow restrained you from coming forward until now?
I believe so. Yeah. Yes, because I've been getting all kinds of requests for interviews. Some major networks have contacted me. They're wanting me to interview with them. And it's just all of a sudden within the last three
weeks. We're getting one of the first interviews. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I think people don't understand when, like, in visiting Israel, we've driven by a place called Magdala, the place of Mary Magdalene, by the Cave of the Winds. And so Jesus, going from Nazareth to the Sea of Galilee, would come right there and no doubt would come through the city. And I've watched that being developed for 35 years. Over 35 years, in the last 2 years, we're actually now taking a tour through that, and we've seen a stone that they would have put the scrolls on. That's how long it took for this to come to pass. And so Shiloh, I look at Dr. Scott Stripling up there. I mean, sometimes it looks like you say, what's he doing for the last 10 years, 12 years? Well, there's a right moment when he gets permission to look for these cornerstones, and he might be convinced 10 years earlier it's there, but you have to really be patient, and sooner or later you have to say, you know, we got to rely on God opening the door. That's what we think this may be, a moment that God is looking at, because these things are converging together and there's such interest in it. And so, yeah, I think this could be a very important moment in church history and in Bible history.
Here is Fran. Hi, Brandon. Could they please expand on what they were saying about what was said as to when this treasure will be found in relation to God?
Yeah, there's, like I said, there's three documents. Emek HaMelech, 2 Maccabees, and Baruch, the Apocalypse of Baruch. And they all say, these items will not be found until the time of the coming of the Messiah. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I believe the time of the coming of the Messiah is very, very soon.
Well, when you add up all the things we've talked about tonight that are falling into place, yeah, I mean, they and so many of them line up with what Jesus himself spoke about to be looking for in Matthew 24, not to mention other things we read about in the Bible. Phil wants to know, fascinating show, first of all. Please ask, how sure is he that it is actually gold and silver that he has found? What percentage on a scale of 1 to 100, what percent are you that you actually have found gold and silver with those readings?
It's an excellent metal detector. I'm going to say 90%.
Wow. Could he be wrong? What are the chances that you're wrong? So about 10% that you're wrong. 90% you're right.
Yeah. The reason I say that and why I'm so sure is because when we scanned it, all those readings were exactly in the spots where I'd marked on my on my maps.
Are they not worried about their or Israel's security giving of all of the details? And you're what you've already said is that you haven't given all the details. Plus this
is
being guarded. So there you go. Another question from Dawn. Can you please explain the significance of Quran being the inverted image of Jerusalem? How does that show where the treasure is?
That has nothing to do with the treasure. That what that has all to do with is about you, what you and I believe. I believe that in Scripture it talks about a new Jerusalem. It talks about a Jerusalem. I think they built that location, and I believe it's probably by Samuel, built that location for worship. Because another thing that I haven't mentioned tonight is it's also, I believe, absolutely believe that was home of the Melchizedek order. So those of you who've ever studied that, it's a very mysterious group, but not anymore. I think we're going to learn so much. And again, this is an answer to her question. We're going to learn so much from Qumran about the Messiah. We're going to learn about scripture. We're going to be able to, and I promise you, that if I'm right, inside of that cave is going to be more than just gold and silver. That's not the important stuff. Books, scrolls of all different kinds, from prophets, you name it. It's going to be, but they're going to be in a much more pristine condition than what they found with the Dead Sea Scrolls. Mm. So religiously speaking, it's incredibly important.
And Rob, help me out here. If we find these kind of writings from prophets or other historians, particularly the other historians, I'm not worried about that. We have the writings, the extra-biblical revelations, or extra-biblical writings, I should say, not revelations, the extra-biblical writings of people like Josephus, the ancient Jewish historian Josephus. We don't equate that with the Bible. That's just good historical document, external proof that confirms the Bible. But if you start finding writings of prophets, how do we distinguish between the Bible and not saying that those scrolls are inspired? Can you help me with that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, if we go to just the Qumran scrolls, and we see how the Bible has been preserved. Matter of fact, in the scroll of the museum, there's a whole museum for the Qumran scrolls, and it's distinguishable because the top of it looks like the lid of a jar, symbolizing how the scrolls were found in these jars. And you look at the Bible that we have today, and the Bible that we find, portions of Scripture that we find, the accuracy is incredible. The book of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah is put there, a photo picture of it, not the actual thing, it's too precious. And if you go through the whole book of Isaiah, there may be 7 or 8 or 9 words that are not exactly what we read in our Bible. And all of these, like maybe it says, instead of saying town, it says city. I mean, there's none of them that's a different word altogether. It's a derivative of that word, or it could be an alternate translation of that word. So what's different about the book of Isaiah than any other book? We have Isaiah exactly right. We have it as God gave it to the prophet Isaiah. And so if we have Isaiah right, we have the other parts of the Bible's right, the Bible right. So we come, and now we find these instruments. We find these things that are out of the house of the tabernacle. So you know, there are people who say, well, Moses didn't really cross the Red Sea. It was the Reed Sea. And the armies of Pharaoh drowned in 2 inches of mud. No, this is the Bible. This is God's word. If he said they drowned in the Red Sea, they went across the Red Sea, not the Reed Sea. And so what it's going to do is going to say, look, we study the Bible because this is the truth of God. What we need is the truth of God, and that's in the Bible. So we go back, and these documents, they're going to be 2,500 years old. Some of these might have been placed in these caves by Jeremiah. Can you imagine if when you go into this cave, the last person that was in this cave was Jeremiah as he set that letter there? I mean, these are major.
Are you thinking that some of these scrolls could be not the autograph, that would be the original, but would be a manuscript of some of the Old Testament books?
All of the Old Testament books, not some of them.
So all of the Old Testament books, there'll be manuscripts, just to make sure the audience understands. An autograph is an original, and then a manuscript is a copy of the original. Do you think you're going to find autographs or manuscripts?
I think it's possible, very possible, that we find actual signatures of the people, handwritings, like Baruch. The community rule was written by Baruch. And guess who was dictating to him? And this is a Dead Sea Scroll. So there are dicks. Let me give you another one. As you go enter into the Qumran ruins, the entrance, it says that below there are some really important, biblical items, but there's also a scroll. And you had to know that scroll before you could enter in and be part of that community. And it was a scroll of Haggai. Now, if you've read the scroll of Haggai, and I'm sure you have, it's 5-10 minute read at the tops. But there was a special scroll. That scroll, or there's another scroll that I believe that Haggai wrote, that was buried right at the entrance. So everything, all of the scrolls that are in the Old Testament, they found fragments of them in the caves, except for the book of Esther. I don't think they found anything from Esther in there. But what I'm telling you is, I think all of the scrolls, all the prophets, they're going to be represented there, only I believe that they will be entire text sealed in those clay jars.
And are you saying you believe that they will be the autographs, the originals, or manuscripts, copies of the originals?
Well, that'd be tough to say, but let's go with copies of the originals.
But you wouldn't be shocked if one or two of them could be an original.
No, I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Okay, because I don't think we have any originals of some of these, do we?
Not yet.
Just pieces, at best. Of some of these are just manuscripts. Except, I don't think we have any autographs, do we?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, me neither.
However, did I tell you about the Melchizedek scroll? It's a fragment. Ladies and gentlemen, that one is amazing. And if we don't have time tonight, but if we ever get the chance, you need to hear that one, because it gives the date of the crucifixion of the Messiah to the year. The Messiah was crucified in a Jubilee year. It just goes on and on and on. And very important.
Let me ask you this. Can we talk? I've already talked to Rob off camera. We need to talk about booking you to be a keynote speaker with Rob at our upcoming Ozarks Worldview Weekend, November 1st, Friday night, November 1st at Lake of the Ozarks. Would you be interested in doing that?
Absolutely.
All right. Let's talk. We'll cover all your expenses, honorarium, a workman's worthy of his hire. We'll take care of all that. But I think our audience would love to get you two guys in a room, show some of this, talk about some of the things, talk about now, visit with you, our audience. It'll be our 21st annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend. People come from all over the country for it. So we'll look to do that. That's a little tease to the audience. And yeah, we have already booked the dates, folks. October 31st will be the banquet concert, as we always do on Thursday night. That's optional. conference gets underway November 1st, and then that's Friday night, Saturday, November 2nd, Sunday morning is our church service, Dr. Woods preaches, and then we call it a day. So go ahead and mark your calendar for November 1, 2, and Sunday morning the 3rd, and then we'll let you know the dates and when you can start registering. We sell out every year. Sharon wants to know, as we get ready to wrap up here, considering the nearness of the rapture, will there be time to dig and recover the gold, et cetera, before that happens? What do you think, Dr. Rob?
Well, I'm looking for the Lord to come at any time. So maybe Jim's done the hard work and we'll let other people do it. You know, I don't know the Lord's timing. I've been looking for the Lord to come. And every morning I wake up, I think this is probably going to be the day. So I try to live this day like it's my last day. And if the Lord allows us to be here when all these are found, that's great. Or maybe he's going to save it for someone to take this research and go. But since I'm looking for the Lord to come, you know, I still have 3 hours to look for him yet to come today. So I'm not going to give up hope until 12:01.
How about this one? Bonnie wants to know, do you think Jeremiah's deed of Anathoth will be there too?
That is a great question, and yes, I do. I do believe it was there, because remember where that deed was from? It was from the land of Benjamin. Well, guess where Qumran sits today? It's in the land of Benjamin. And again, so yes, I do believe it's going to be there.
And how is that going to set with the Islamists?
Oh, they, from what I understand, they're going to just set down their stuff and grab their suitcases and walk off and say, okay, that's it. We've got enough.
We know they won't. Comment real quickly before we go. Don't start the music yet. We'll go a couple minutes over. Dr. Rob, comment as we get ready to close. I want to promote Jim's website again, copperscrollproject.com, copperscrollproject.com. Dr. Rob is BibleTipNow.org, BibleTipNow.org. Dr. Rob, comment real quick on the taking out of a few high-ranking Iranian generals in Syria by Israel. This now puts Israel on high alert, I'm hearing.
It does. And this is why, when you see the United States say to Netanyahu, okay, we need to call an election, or okay, stop fighting, let's trade 80 terrorists for 40 hostages. And Israel knows what they're doing. We need to back away. We need to support them, our prayers, our interests, our friendship, but let Israel finish the job that they've got to do. And the fact that they took out some top-ranking terrorists, we ought to be thanking them. They ought to be heroes, because if they don't take them out, they're going to organize things to bring terror to this country. So I'm delighted that Israel is ignoring the U.S. for the moment and doing what they know they ought to do. God has given them that land. They have every right to defend themselves. I'm thankful that Netanyahu is saying no to Joe Biden and going ahead with what he knows is the right thing for Israel to do.
Indeed.
Stand with Israel.
Indeed. CopperScrollProject.com, CopperScrollProject.com, and Rob's is BibleTipNow.org. That was a fast and fascinating 90 minutes. I know we're going to get so much wonderful feedback, as we already have through the questions. Thank you to both of you.
Our pleasure. You know, we've hit the tip of the iceberg. Wow, this is so much fun. Instead of Indiana Jones, it's Indiana Barfield.
Yeah, indeed. And that's why we need to get him to take what's common to the culture and turn it into a pulpit. And that's what we've done tonight, right?
Yeah.
As one guy said, archaeologists used to dig to disprove the Bible. Now they read the Bible to find out where to dig. And in this case, now they read the copper scroll to find out where to dig. Thank you guys, as always. Look forward to firming up your guys as being with us at the Ozarks Worldview Weekend at Lake of the Ozarks, November 1st. We'll get that hammered out this week.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Rob. Now, folks, before we...
Well, as I mentioned, this is one of our most popular series. I know when I introduced Jim Barfield to my students at school, they were so excited, and most of them wanted to become archaeologists. But you know, there's another treasure that I want to talk about. Not only the fact that we might be on the verge of uncovering the treasures of Solomon, and even if they're not Solomon's treasures, let me tell you this, if we were to find any of the artifacts from the, the house of Moses, the tabernacle of Moses, if we were to find a load of gold and silver that it looks like is going to be there in the Qumran project, my goodness, how exciting would that be? Think of the wealth, think of the treasure, think of the value of it. But you know, there's something that's even of greater value. Can you believe it? Something of greater value than the Ark of the Covenant, something of greater value than even the ephod of the priest, something of greater value than billions of dollars worth of gold and silver. You know what it is? That treasure is Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of the world. You see, the treasures of this life, well, they give way at a lifetime, but the treasure of Jesus Christ is good for eternity. And you know what? I think for many people, Christ as the treasure was hidden for a long time until the birth of Christ, until the crucifixion and resurrection. Maybe Christ was hidden, but now he's in full view. And as we watch the Word of God being fulfilled in so many ways in the Middle East, including the Copper Scroll projects, let me tell you this, the treasure is available to everyone. You see, most treasures, and when you go on a treasure hunt, it's limited to just those who find it. First come, first serve. First one there, they're going to get the treasures. But let me tell you, with Jesus Christ, that treasure is so great, so big, that it is enough treasure for every single person that will come to him. My friend, today, I invite you to accept Christ as your personal Savior, as your treasure. You see, he was the treasure of heaven. God gave the best of heaven for the worst of earth. I'm one who is on my way to heaven, not because I'm good, but because Jesus is sufficient to take away my sin. His death, his blood on the cross paid my debt of sin. I accepted him as my personal Savior. My friend, I invite you to do that as well. Treasures. The treasures on earth, no matter how great they are, they're limited to this life. But the treasure of Jesus Christ and salvation, it's good for eternity. Come to him today. We'll keep you posted on the Copper Scroll Project and on any other discoveries and news from Jim Barfield. Thanks for watching. God bless you. We'll see you next week.